I've been talking about prayer, I think, last week and maybe the week before, I'm not sure. But there's no way I can even come close to scratching the surface on prayer until Jesus shows up. I mean, it's an impossibility. So what I'm trying to do is preach on prayer and giving you some input that you can apply to your everyday life and me also. Fair enough? Okay, one of the scriptures I gave you last week was James chapter 5, verse 16. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'm just going to read. When a believing person prays, how many of you are believers? It's interesting that Jesus said, these signs shall follow those that believe. Amen? How many of you are believers? Then look over your shoulder because something should be following. Amen? Too many times in America, we follow people. Well, that's not the way it's set up. It's set up for us to be powerful forces in the kingdom of God. And my God, listen now. The kingdom of God, say the kingdom of God, always works from the inside out. So if it works from the inside out, this is what I've got to make sure is on the inside. But the kingdom of this world works from the outside in. I mean, you know, that one's true. So there's two different kingdoms, and the one you and I are living in, if you don't mind, it's the kingdom of God, and that means everything comes from within, and then it comes out. All right? Say, the kingdom of God is in me, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, according to Romans, and the kingdom of God is in me, and then it comes out of me. You got that? So if we understand love, God's love, then that's what's going to come out of us, because every other kind of love in the world is something that's manufactured by man, and it's nothing like the love that God expressed to us through his son Christ. Amen? Amen? So when a believing person prays, this is what the Bible says now, great things happen. When a believer prays, great things happen. Say great things.
Great things.
And this came into my spirit when I was walking down the hall, but we've talked about this in life, all of us have. Oh, they're just hand-me-downs. We get so used to saying, oh, it's a hand-me-down from that child to this child. And we're so ingrained in the world system, instead of having hand-me-downs, we should be handing things up. When I was a kid, they used to send clothes overseas. And they sent old clothes, ragged clothes, ripped clothes. And I was just a teenager. I said to my father, how come we're not sending them new clothes? We don't have the money. Then we should get some money. Amen? We'll never get that in the kingdom of God. Everything God gives us is brand new. Say brand new every day. Say great things happen. I'm expecting great things to happen in my life daily, and say I am too. Now listen now, this is powerful. Elijah was a human being just like us. Now when you hear Elijah, what do you think? Think of a miracle, but what kind of a person was Elijah? He was a prophet, and he was a great man, had all kinds of miracles, am I correct? The one we remember, and it's right here. Let me read it. It'll help us out a little bit. He prayed this, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again. So if I wanted somebody on my team, I want somebody who can pray and cause something to stop and then pray again and loose it. Listen now. Listen to what it says just before that. Elijah was a human being just like you and I. You can do what Elijah did. See, some of you just don't believe that's possible because he was a prophet and what? And you're just no, it includes you because if you're a human being, God wants to come on you and speak through you and use you mightily. Say, Elijah was a human being just like me. And remember Elisha? Elisha got brave hanging around Elijah and said, I'd like a double portion. And when you study it out, I'm going to definitely get all my notes out on that. He had exactly 14 miracles, and Elijah had 7. Whoa. And he was just a man like you and I? Listen, you and I can call down rain. You and I can call down peace. You and I can call down anything because the kingdom of God is in us, and it starts from the inside, and then it goes out. Don't say it's impossibility. Don't look at whether you have a degree or not, whether you're male or female, how old you are, how young you are. None of those things matter. God is looking for somebody, the Bible says in the Old Testament, somebody to stand in the gap. Somebody's got to do the job. You and I weren't born for this particular time in history just to be a Christian and just to go to church. That's not what it's about. You and I are human beings that the power of God is on the... My God. I just saw a glimpse of the Ark of the Covenant. What happened with the Ark of the Covenant? When the Ark of the Covenant moved, Israel moved. Were they always safe? Were they always protected? Always taken care of? And what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The presence of the living God. Are you ready? James 5:16. And it did not rain in the land for how long? And then when he prayed, what happened? It came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. Understand that scripture verse. He was an ordinary person just like you and I. You have greatness on the inside of you. You have greatness on the inside of you. When Jesus got a hold of Peter, he knew Peter had greatness on the inside of him. But sometimes when there's greatness on the inside of somebody, you may have to draw it out. Am I right? Glory to God. Draw it out. Amen. Say, draw it out. Jesus knows there's greatness in each and every one of us because on the inside of us is the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he knows our future because he's already got it planned. Amen. Glory to God. My future was to be a pastor. I'm so glad that I said yes. Amen. Remember the miracle of the woman and the prophet said, what do you have? Listen now. I only have a little. There's the key. What did she say she had? There's the word. Anytime you and I have something, it may be little to us, but God's going to use it to do big things. When you give God what he's asking for, it's not a lot. It's all he needs is a little teeny bit, and he will make that thing grow and expand to feed the millions. Amen. Say hallelujah, glory to God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 in the Message Bible. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, because we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. What in the world is prayer? Once we know what prayer is, things will change in your life and my life. My God, my Father in heaven goes into action. Now understand, prayer is not, oh God, I need this, and oh God, I need that, and God, help me pay this bill. Prayer is talking to God. Say, talking to God. But what is it that we're talking to God? The word. The promises of God back to God. That's what real prayer is. Oh, God, I can't pay my rent because I spent all of it on such and such. First of all, repent to God. Say you messed up. Amen. And let him do his work in you and in me. So when we pray the word, that's why for as long as I can remember in Harvest Church, you'll find there's something about the word in every single message I preach or anyone else that comes into this pulpit. Amen. It's always about the word. It's always about the word. Remember I preach, the word is the centerpiece. I still have a dining room home. Anybody still have a dining room? What do you have in the middle of your dining room table? A centerpiece. You want it in the middle because it becomes what? The focal point of that room. The Bible needs to be the focal point of our lives. There is no substitute. There is nothing else that's going to change our lives but having the Word of God as the centerpiece of our life. Now, if we say that, that means Jesus is the centerpiece. Amen. Glory to God. Listen to this one. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. How many of you are righteous? You're born again, you are. And his ears are open to their cry. So when we pray, what happens? He hears us. Well, I've been praying for years, and it seems like the heavens are brass. That's a kingdom out there talking. It's not the kingdom in here. Because if there's a relationship with God, when you pray, something already happened. Remember Daniel? 21 days he prayed and didn't look like anything was going on. And when the angel got there, what did he say? Your prayer was heard the first time, but it took us, hang on, 21 days to break through the realm of evil to get to you. If you don't think that's not going on today, I got news for you in the generation we live in, but you can be sure that when you pray, God hears you immediately. How often should we pray? How many times should we pray? Think about this. You and I should pray over and over again until that promise or the word gets in and agrees with our heart. Once it does, watch out, enemy. Watch out, devil. Watch out anything evil that tries to come at you and I. Because once our minds and hearts are set in an agreement with God, anything goes. You and I are a monster. Say, we're a monster. I think of David. I think of David and Goliath. David had no shot at beating what? Goliath. But did he? Everybody ran. All the soldiers ran away. And what did David do? He ran to it. See, when you and I face problems or dilemmas in our marriage, in our house, in our job, whatever it may be, we've got to have courage in prayer and run to it instead of away from it. Say amen. How many of you know it sometimes can be tough? But guess what? That's what we're going to do. Fair enough? Here's another one for you. John 5:14, 1 John. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. What do we have? Confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the question is, what's his will? The word is his will. There's probably between 7,500 and 8,000 like promises of God. All of those are in us, and if we can speak them out of our mouth, our lives would change, our neighborhood would change, our family would change. Glory to God. I have confidence. I have confidence. Where does my confidence come from? Having this book on the inside of me on a daily basis. I literally eat this and devour it on a daily basis. I love just sitting and reading and hearing the great things God's done. Sometimes my wife and I reflect on some of the great things, and then we speak to great things yet to come. Us having the opportunity to minister to a village in Pakistan where people are going to come and put a large screen up with projectors, give their Bibles away, and listen, talk to them about Jesus as the preacher talks to them about Jesus. Guess how much it costs? Nothing. I finally asked my friend Eric, I said, okay, Eric, give me a lowdown here. Who's paying for this? He said, well, the owner of the network, and he said, me. I said, I figured that. He loves the Lord so much, he's taking monies from his pocket and paying for a part of the crusades all over the globe. And we don't have to pay a thing. Glory to God. Well, Pastor, how did that happen? If you sow, you reap. We're going to send another nice check to Lily of the Valley. I can't wait to call John up. Because they can't get over the border. They can only send money right now. And he said the other day to me, he says, you know, we've known each other over 40-some years. I said, yeah, John, long time. And your church has always supported us, and there's never been one time when you haven't. He said, people come and go. They get excited. They want to support. And then they stop. We don't stop because Jesus doesn't stop. And the more we give out, the more winds up coming back. Amen. Glory to God. Here's another one for us. Are you ready? How many of you getting some tonight? Good. Glory to God. Take this stuff and squeeze all you can out of it. Hebrews 4:14 in the NIV. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess or say with our mouth. Amen. Now, let's go talk a little bit about more prayer. I'll leave that one aside for right now. I told you last week about some of the laws of prayer. Say laws of prayer. We talked for a moment about gravity. How many of you know gravity? The law of gravity. Can any of us change the law of gravity? You can't change the law of gravity. It's in place. You can't change the word of God. It's in place. The end of Revelation says nothing should be added to this book. That's the word of God. Nothing should be added or taken. No, you can't do that, because this is God's word and we can't tamper with the word of God. Amen. Let me give you some of the quotes I gave you last week from some great men of God. John Wesley, it seems like God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless somebody prays and asks him to. Remember the word ask? What does the word ask mean? Make a demand on something that belongs to you and I. If we ask and we pray, guess what? He is going to do exactly what we pray. Say, praying God's will. Smith Wigglesworth, there's something about believing God that will cause him to, pass over a million people just to get to you. How many thousands of people probably touched Jesus, and all of a sudden he says, who touched me? And the first thing out of the disciples' mouth is, are you kidding, man? He said, no, somebody touched me because I felt what? Power and virtue leave me. And she didn't touch him, she touched what he was wearing. Remember in the New Testament, the book of Acts, they took what? Pieces of cloth and gave them to folks, and they were healed. They weren't even there. When you anoint something, amen, the anointing of God is on the inside of that. The anointing means God's presence manifested. How many of you know Sunday morning we had a manifestation of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Say glory to God. When people ask me, Pastor, how do you get that? Very simple. Invite the Holy Spirit, and we just let him go. Lives were changed on Sunday because we want the power of God to be loosed, not only in our church services, but on the inside of you and I. Fair enough? He'll go over a million people just to get to you. Kenneth Hagin said this, God is concerned about everything that touches us, and he's made a provision to meet our needs in prayer. Remember Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God. Which kingdom? And then everything that you have need of will show up. You know what the Bible says? It says we are citizens of heaven. You and I are not citizens only of this great nation. We are citizens of heaven. The Bible calls us ambassadors of the King of Kings. Hey, man, isn't that good? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over a couple of these and then we'll move on. Fair enough? First one I gave you was this, the law of the blood. I gave you some words for that, but I'm going to just go back for a moment. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood, say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no what? Forgiveness of sins. Here's another one for us. The law of boldness. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I hear so many times people say, I'm just not bold enough. Yes, you are. The Bible says you're already bold because of what Christ has done, nothing about what we've done. See, that's religion going to seed. It's never about what we do or we don't do. The Bible says it's not what you've done, it's what God's already done. When you and I pray, we can do it boldly because he has already fulfilled every single promise in his book called the Bible. Have you fulfilled every one of them? I sure have, and I can't. But he has. When we pray the promises of God. That means we got to know more than John 3:16. We've got to know more than God is love. We've got to know the word of God inside and out. Because in a time of trouble, what's going to work in our lives, in the lives of our family, in our church, is going to be men and women who will speak boldly the promises of God back to God. See, that's the conversation. God, you promised this. God, you said this. And he, listens to it, and he's a part of it because he looks over his word, what? To make sure it's performed. It never comes back, what? Empty or void, all right? The third one is this, the law of righteousness. James 5:16. The earnest, heartfelt, the key word, now listen, continued prayer. See, you can't just say you love somebody today and never tell them again for 30 years. You have to have a relationship. Religion doesn't have a relationship. Religion is bondage. But if you and I have a relationship with God, say a relationship, and it's a continuing relationship, you understand? Continuing, guess what? That prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, how many of you have somebody you love? Husband, wife, kids, all right. Now, if they're not with you, do you stop loving them because they're not with you? You love them whether you can see them or not, am I correct? God loves us, and we can never take that away from him, nor can he take that away from us. We love him. It's a law. Say a law. A law is something that is set. Say set. The Bible says the word of God is what? Forever settled in heaven. See, that's a problem with the church. It's got to be settled in our heart. If we pray and God's word is not settled in our heart because we don't understand it, then our prayers kind of sit there. There's another one. The law of faith, Hebrews 11:6, and Matthew 21:22 says this. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. Wow. So believing means it's already settled in our heart that what? It's already done. It's already done. So you receive it right then and there. Because that's what the word said. Here's another one. This is a good one now. The law of praise. Let's go over to Psalm for a minute, just for a minute. Psalm 100. Are you ready? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know, perceive, and recognize and understand with approval that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. So who's made us? See, that takes care of that right there. He's made us, not we ourselves, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, gates represents authority. The Bible says this, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. See, gates mean government or authority. So when the Bible says the gates of hell will not, the authority of hell will never prevail over you or I. Well, glory to God. Are you ready? My goodness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name. So our mouth needs to be open, saying what we think of God. How great thou art. He knows all that. But tell him, thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God, for giving me a family. Thank you, God, for giving me the ability to work a job and bring monies home to take care of my family. Thank you. That's saying the word back to him. Stay saying the word. The Bible also said he inhabits. The word inhabits means what? A place to live. He inhabits the praises of his saints. If sometimes we don't know what to pray, if we start picking our hands up, the angels say, hey, look, I'm going to go down there now. They're starting to praise you. What do hands going up mean in our society? Oh, surrender. Guess what? Surrender. I'm surrendering myself to him and saying, you inhabit the praises that are about to come out of my mouth. Wow, out of my mouth. Listen now. Fifth verse. For the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. Say all generations. It's a wonder that the devil himself, when he came to Jesus, wanted him to do what? Worship him. See, worship him, that means you'd have somebody, yeah, no, I'm not doing that because the word of God says something totally different. Amen? Say that the enemy's a liar. John 10:44 says what? He's the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. None whatsoever. Here's another one. Amen? Listen to this one. 1 Corinthians 13:1-8, but I'm going to read some scriptures. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Oh, boy. The law of right relationship. The law, say the law of right relationship. Listen to Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. There's too much of this in the church. If you want to know sometimes why we don't see miracles, it's because of things like that. You and I have no right, according to the word of God, to have anything against anybody. But if you do, what does the Word of God say? Go to them, ask for forgiveness, because if we don't forgive, He can't forgive us. Whoa, what a stumbling block. Say, it's not going to be a stumbling block to me. It's going to be an access door to the presence of God. Whoa, my goodness, have mercy. Say, it's available for me. All I have to do is plug it on in. Here's another one for us. The law of right motives. These are all laws. The law of right motives. Listen to what it says. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height and his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see him as a man sees. For a man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? Looks at the heart. That's where things are happening. James 4:2-3 say this. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Well, God, you don't know what they did to me. I'm just praying that you'll get even with them. That does not line. See, that's asking amiss. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, when you and I pray, it's going to come to pass. How many times have we at one time or another missed it, praying wrong prayers? Oh, I don't know why. I got to put up with that. Get on your knees before God. I've done it many times and ask God to forgive my stinking attitude. Say the law of God's will. Oh, wow, the law of God's will. 1 John 5:14-15. I'm almost done. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, everybody yell out, what's his will? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him for. So is it important, listen, is it important to pray a prayer according to the word? That's the only kind that's going to work. If somebody says, well, I've prayed for about 10 years now for my family to get saved, but, you know, they're just stupid people and they drink and they smoke and they don't go to church. Guess what? Those prayers never left your front porch, because there's a problem in the heart of man. God, save my family. They've drifted away from you, but I'm going to wait on the dock over here with dinner when they come home. Amen. See, that's the heart of a man or a woman who really loves people. If we say, but God, you don't know what they've done to me. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me the other day? You don't know what they did to my son. I immediately apologized to God and asked him, forgive me. Here's another one. The law of agreement, binding, and loosening. Wow. Let's go. Let's wind up over here. Can we do that? Matthew, and we're going to stop. Matthew chapter 18, and let's look at 18 through 20. All right? Ready? Here we go. Truly I tell you, this is Jesus talking. I want to listen to this one. Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. You know what that conclusion I come with? Then I got to know this book. I got to know this book. There's no two ways about it. I've got to know the Word of God. I've got to know it. Are you ready? Whew. Listen to 19. Again, I tell you, if any two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, ready, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For whatever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there I am in the what? Midst of them. Glory to God. So we've got some exciting news about all these different laws that are available to you and I. And the last one we'll talk about next week is the law of the Holy Ghost, the law of dependence upon the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. How many of you have been in that place? I sure have. That's when you get a hold of your set of keys and start rattling them all over. Just say the name of Jesus. Amen. That we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When it says intercession there, it literally means in the Greek language that the Holy Spirit comes, he sees that you've fallen into a pit, and he doesn't send a rope down or a ladder or call 911. He gets into the pit and he takes you out himself. Say glory to God. That's the kind of Holy Ghost I want. That's the kind of a person I want, that they're interceding for me on my behalf. Because there are times, especially when somebody passes away and everybody's totally distraught and nobody knows what to pray or what to do, but the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit, glory to God. My father-in-law years and years ago died, and at the funeral where the wake was, everybody was laughing, having a good time. The undertaker came and said, Paul, can I talk to you? Sure. How come everybody's laughing and telling like jokes and everybody's just happy? I said, because he's not there. He's in heaven, and we're all going to see him again. So it's not like it's over. This is just like a little speed bump. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I led him to the Lord. See, saints don't look and act like everybody else does, because the kingdom of God is in me. Glory to God. And say, Jesus is coming back, the blessed hope of the church. How many of you got something tonight? How many of you are going to pray differently now? How many of you are going to pray the word? And next week we'll give you more on that. Fair enough? Heavenly Father, thank you for your coming here tonight and just spending time with us. I thank you as people go their own way that you'll protect them as they travel. And we speak to a new day tomorrow. It'll be one full of you and full of the love of God in us. Amen.